All right. Well, boy, I tell you, I appreciate the music tonight, appreciate the testimonies tonight. Anytime I go to a church and visit and go to preach for the folks, I love it when the pastor opens the floor up to testimony time. We don't see that enough today. I love to hear the testimonies of God's people, what He's doing in their lives. And tonight we heard some wonderful testimony from you guys on what God's doing down here. Boy, I tell you, it is good to be back home. This is our home church, and been a long time since we've been here in this church. We've been gone now. I've been pastoring in Gaslight for 6 years, then I was in Kansas for almost four, and so it's been a while. I look around here today, see some familiar faces, but I see mostly new faces. I don't know a lot of you, because I didn't go to church with a lot of you. But this, like I say, this is our home church. And I am grateful this evening that Pastor Brett asked me to come and to bring a message to you tonight from the Word of God. I do pastor in Gaslight, West Virginia. Been up there now for, like I say, 6 years at Sugar Creek Baptist Church. My associate pastor is filling the pulpit for me there now this evening. Do pray for them. I know DJ will do a great job. He's a great young man. And God will use him, no doubt, tonight. Take your Bibles. Go with me to Genesis 16. And as I began praying a couple weeks ago, he asked me if I'd come on the 28th and preach to you guys. And I got to be honest with you tonight, I didn't know I'd be here today until last night. Okay? He got a hold of me last night and asked me could I come today, and I told him I'd love to. But I'd have to find out this morning whether or not I'd have somebody preaching for me. Just like down here, I'm sure it's like that here. The flu is going around everywhere. And it is there as well. And so I thought, well, I better check and make sure I've got somebody to fill my pulpit before I go and tell you that I can be here for you. And so I made sure this morning DJ was going to be okay with being there tonight. I woke up this morning a little bit congested, coughing and things like that. And so I sent Pastor Brett a message and told him all that and asked him would he still want me to come. And he said yes. So I'm grateful to be here tonight. Now, tonight, to be honest with you, I'm not an evangelist, okay? I didn't come down here tonight as an evangelist because I ain't one, okay? I know I'm down home tonight. I say ain't here in this church. It's okay, just like in my church. But I'm a pastor, okay? I'm a pastor, and I pastor a church just like this man. Just being a pastor is different than being an evangelist. When you go to a church as an evangelist, you really have a program you go by. You know, I mean, I heard Brother Brett one time tell me, I hate evangelists. He said, I hate them because when they come into your church, they've done preached that message 1,400 times, and they know it by heart, and they look like they know the Bible from front cover to back cover, and don't have to look at the Scriptures to read them or anything, and he said, I hate them. But I'm not like that, brother. I'll have to read from the Bible tonight, okay? You can feel comfortable tonight with me. But tonight I'm a pastor. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that God gave pastors to churches, but He gave evangelists. Being a pastor and pastoring my church, I can go there, and many times I know what to preach to my folks because I know what they're dealing with a lot of times. I know where they need help and where they need to be fed, and so I can read my church. Well, guess what? I haven't seen you guys in a long time, so I know nothing tonight about what you need. So I began to pray and ask God what you needed. One thing that I can say for sure tonight, every single person in this building makes dumb decisions. Do we not? Kids, you make dumb decisions? Guys, young people, you make dumb decisions? Yeah, you brother, come on, you're in church. Don't lie now. Everybody makes dumb decisions. Every single one of us makes silly, dumb decisions in our life. So I began to pray and ask God, Lord, what would you have me preach on that? Well, I've been teaching on Wednesday night in our Wednesday night Bible study through the book of Romans. The other night I got to that portion of Scripture where it said, and Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. After church was done, and we were getting ready to leave, one of my men came up to me and he said, Pastor, I got a question. He said, if he did not stagger under the promises of God, why did he go to Hagar and have a child by Hagar? If he didn't stagger under that, then what in the world happened? And me being who I am, I told him the truth. I have no idea. But I'll let you know. And so this morning, through a week of study, I began to study the book of Genesis, and that's where we're going to be tonight, chapter 16. You say, What happened there to cause this trouble that we see happen in the life of Abraham? What in the world happened? Well, I can boil it down to one thing for you, a stupid decision. Okay, a dumb decision in his life. He made a wrong decision in his life. And not only did he pay for it, but we're still paying for it today. Okay? But tonight I want to try to help you with your problems. Because I can guarantee you, just like Abraham, you make the same dumb decisions. Okay? So what can we learn? How can we learn to deal with the decisions in our lives so that we make godly decisions instead of dumb decisions? Well, notice with me tonight, I'm going to read you a few verses here. I'm going to read you the whole chapter, if you would. Chapter 16. It says, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maiden into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt heartily with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called. Now I can't say this word very good, so if you can, go ahead. Okay? But it's called Beraloahare, Ra. Okay? Whatever. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Heavenly Father, I do pray now, God, that you would continue your work that you're already started here this evening. I pray, God, as the speaker of the time, that, Lord God, you would fill me with thy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to speak clearly. Help me, Lord, to not have anything in my mind, Lord, that would be contrary to your will. Lord, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would take what we have looked at already and apply it. God, but not only apply it, but help us through it. And God, I give you glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so dealing with these dumb decisions. I mean, after we read that, no doubt you guys tonight will look at that and say the same thing as me. It was just a bad decision, was it not? I mean, God had already made him a promise that he would give him a child. and that He would make him a great nation. God did that, and God already promised that, but because of who we are, we don't often like to stay and wait, do we? I mean, we live in a world where it's instantaneous today. Everybody in here probably has an iPhone. I have an iPhone today. Mine's getting old. Mine only works now at about, I don't know, I'm going to guess and say when I punch something in, it happens in about, I don't know, a quarter of a second. Okay, maybe a little less than that. To you younger people, you're like, man, that's slow, right? I mean, good night, man. I'll be going a lot faster than that. Got to get a new phone, right? I've only had it a couple years, but it's time for a new one. Because this one ain't working fast enough for me now, okay? Well, now, we live in a day and age where it's just an instantaneous age. It's a day and age when we live as that Burger King philosophy, have it our way type of age. And we want everything our way and everything right now. And we don't like to wait on it. But every now and then, we got to wait. God's going to call upon you. One day, God's going to call upon you. Now, He did me one time. He called upon me, and He called me to leave Clay County. He called upon me to go be the associate pastor of a church in Kansas under Pastor John Day. A lot of you guys that was here at that time remember when that happened. God called upon me to do that, but I had to be patient. You know how long I had to wait? 1 year. Now, everybody was wanting to go. I was ready to go. Pastor Day was ready for me to get there. All the church was ready. All the things were being processed. Everything was done, but it took me over a year before I finally left. I had to be patient because it had to happen in God's time. You see, sometimes we're going to have to stop and we're going to have to wait, or we will make bad decisions. I want you to think about some things tonight that might help us. First of all, I want you to think, number one, the reasons for this bad decision. I mean, good night, He didn't just all of a sudden decide that I'm going to have a baby by this woman, Hagar. Some things had to have happened in the process of time for this to take place. I mean, let's think about it. The reasons for this bad decision. Well, first of all, I think as we look at this, in the first four verses, we can find the answer to why they did what they did. Now, I'm sure there's a whole lot more than that, but for the sake of time tonight, I boiled it down to three things that I think maybe would have been the reason in the first four verses. Notice with me, first of all, the desire to be accepted. The desire to be accepted. Notice with me, first of all, in verse number 1, and Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now, in our day and age, that means nothing, right? Some of you have children. Some of you may have never had children. I have four still yet bachelors in my church. Same four was always there, right? They're still there and ain't added none to, have we? We've got four bachelors in our church that are over 50 years old. So a couple of them are over 60 years old. They have never been married. They have never had children. Now, we don't look at those guys today, and we don't look at them in a weird way because they don't have kids. But you've got to move back in time to a time where Abraham and Sarah lived. In the time in which Abraham and Sarah lived, it was a bad thing not to have children. You needed an heir, okay? And you wanted an heir to be able to take your legacy and move it on down the road. And if you didn't have children in that time, the thought process for most every other Jew around the country at that time would have been, something's wrong with you. You've done something to God, or God would be blessing you. And so they were looked down upon if they didn't have children. And now we find them at an old age. I mean, these guys, this promise was given a long time ago. They went a long time. This promise had never been fulfilled. No doubt the pressure that they were feeling in that time was a whole lot like these young people right here. Hey, look, guys, listen. Those of you that's as old as me, you ain't felt nothing like these guys are feeling. They're living in a day and age that you have never dealt with. I have never dealt with. The pressure that they are put upon and put under over social times that we live today is staggering if you think about it. I mean, these guys are under pressure that you and I have never dreamed about. When you get put under pressure by others around you, before long, if you're not careful, kids, what will happen is you'll make dumb decisions. Because you'll want to follow the crowd, and before long, because somebody puts pressure on you, you may go and have sex outside of marriage. Uh-oh, preacher talked about sex. But it's true, we better tell them about it. Because if we're not real careful, some of these people that you're picking up right now may become early moms and dads. And they may have to struggle the rest of their life because of some dumb decision they made to go outside the bonds of matrimony and sleep with another person. You know why most of the time that happens? Pressure. Social pressure. The days in which we live. The days in which they lived. The pressures that they were put under to be accepted in that day and age caused them to make bad decisions. But you know what else I see here? Not only does that pop out at me, but I also see that they were dragging their sinful baggage along with them, and it was causing them to make bad decisions. How do I know that? Notice with me. You see, in Genesis chapter 12, go back with me, Genesis chapter 12, just a couple chapters back, what we find in verse number 10 is we find Abram. And it says in verse 10, there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. All right, I'm going to stop right there for just a second. I'm going to paraphrase the rest of it. What happened was the famine come on. But God never did give him permission to leave where he was at. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes famine's going to hit your life. But that does not mean God's giving you permission to leave where you're at. God never told Abraham to go down into Egypt. God told him, you stay right where you're at. I'll take care of you. But he decided on his own to go to Egypt. While he was down there, if you'll remember in the story, I'll kind of tell you the stories for those of you who don't know. He takes Sarah with him, and they go down into Egypt. And as he gets down there, he goes up to Sarah, and he says, you know what? You're a good-looking woman. These Egyptians are going to see you, and they're going to think you're a good-looking woman. And if they look at you and know that I'm your husband, they're going to kill me, and they're going to try to take you as their wife. Remember that story? But he says, instead of doing that, I'll tell you what we'll do. When we get down there, you tell them I'm your brother. I'm your brother. And they won't kill me, but they'll look good upon me. And so they get down there, and what happens? Exactly what Abram knew would happen. The Egyptian princess brought her before the Pharaoh, and he liked her, man. She was a good-looking woman. And because she was a good-looking woman, guess what happened? Now, I'll go there and see if I can find it real quick. I don't know where it's at down there. It's about verse number 13, maybe. No. But anyway, I'll just paraphrase it too, okay, because I can't find it right now. But anyway, somewhere down through there in about 13, 14, 15, it says that Pharaoh blessed him with a lot of things. He gave him manservants, he gave him cattle, he gave him camels, I think. He gave him a lot of stuff because he was being real nice to Abraham because he wanted Abraham to give him his blessing to be able to marry Sarah. Okay? And so he gave him all kinds of things. And in the midst of that, it says he had some, and they gave him some manservants and some maidservants. And when Pharaoh found out about it, Pharaoh was mad and said, why did you deal with me this way? I want you out of here. Get your stuff and get out. And he took his stuff and he left, and one of those things that he got was a girl named Hagar. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. That was a sinful trip. And your sin will follow you. You see, this baggage I'm talking about was a girl named Hagar. Had he not decided to step out of God's will and do his own thing, Hagar would have never been there. But because he did, now we see the baggage that comes along with sin. And it always has an effect. But notice with me the third thing I see. The doubting of God's promises. You see, in chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible tells us, if you'll go there once, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You see, he made him a promise. I'm going to give you an heir. It's going to be your own heir. It's going to be your son. It's going to be a child out of your own bowels, out of your own body. He made him a promise. But somewhere along the line, something happened. You see, we all like to believe God's promises. But a lot of times along the way, we begin to doubt them. Now, y'all can sit here and look at me funny tonight, but it's true. You see, the guy that asked me this question, I had to do some digging, and this is really, it was a two-part message. I'm going to preach the rest of it to him next week. You guys are just going to figure it out yourself. But what happened in his life is this. His salvation, who he was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God when God said, I'm going to give you a child and make you a great nation. That did not make him sinless. You can believe God's promises and still be a sinner. You believe that? Oh, yeah. You see, there was a time, though, when him and Sarah began to doubt. I mean, they're both getting up in age now, and according to the Bible says that her body, she assumed her body was dead to the fact that she could not have a child any longer, so they decided to do something about it. Okay? So we see, first of all, the reasons for the bad decision. What about the reactions caused by this bad decision? So what happened next? What in the world was, what's the reaction to it? Well, really, there's three reactions. Okay, that I find here, and it's about three different people, and all three of them have a different reaction to what happens. Notice with me, first of all, in these three, Abram was unaccountable. Notice with me here in verse number 6. Let me get back in my place. I've got to find the chapter. Chapter 16, verse 6, look with me. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Now, in other words, Abram was saying, you know what? It's not my fault. That's your handmaid. It's all on you. And what Abram was doing is not wanting to be accountable for the problems in his life. How many times have you seen problems come up in your life and other people's lives, and the first thing we want to do is push them aside? I see churches a lot of times. I try to help churches around my area up there. There's a lot of churches, smaller churches in my area that have closed their doors, and I've tried to help them over the years reopen their doors and keep their doors open and things like that. But most of the time, one of the things I find is the problem in the church is always almost the same thing. There's a problem crop up in the church, and nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody wants to deal with the problem today. They want to kick the can down the road. Well, I'm going to tell you something about kicking the can down the road. Before long, that little problem becomes a great big problem. You see, Abram, he decided somewhere along the way, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to be accountable for this thing. This ain't my fault. And he says, this is your handmaiden. This is her. This is you. This is your problem. And he didn't want to deal with it. In our houses, our families, all these things out there, we want to stop taking account. We want to stop being accountable for our problems and our sins. When somebody points out a sin to you today, let me ask you a question. When your pastor comes to you and says, hey, you know what, I see a problem. Does it make you mad? Or does it make you glad that you have a pastor who will want to help you with your problem? Most of us get mad, do we not? We don't want other people telling us how to live and what to do and how to do it. We're unaccountable. But you know what else I see? Not only is Abraham unaccountable, but I see that Sarah is unreasonable. Look with me there in verse number 5. Notice what she says that Sarah said to Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my handmaid into thy bosom, in which she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Now notice something with me. You know what she's mad at? She was mad because Hagar was happy. When Hagar seen she was going to have a baby, and she was happy that she was going to have a baby, Sarah got mad. Sarah was being unreasonable. How many times does people get blessed by God and you get mad? Boy, that's tough stuff, ain't it? But it's the truth. We see people being blessed all around us sometimes. You know what our philosophy is? You know what our theology is, brother? Well, that should have been me. That should have been me, not them. I don't think they deserve it. I work a lot harder than they do, so I think I ought to be getting it. That's our philosophy, is it not? See, she was being unreasonable. He was being unaccountable. But what about Hagar? What was she being? Well, she was unavailable. You see, I find Hagar in verse number 6. And notice this, and Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy handmaid is in thy hand, do unto her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarah dealt hardly with her. And notice what she did. And she fled. She's getting out of here. I'm going to tell y'all something. Young people, I want you to listen to me tonight. A lot of young people here tonight, and I'm thankful for that. I am thankful you're here. But one of these days you're going to grow up, and you're going to see a girl or a guy, and they're going to catch your eye. And you're going to look at them, and this funny feeling's going to come over you. And things are going to start changing. Okay? But I want to listen. I want you to listen to me tonight. I've been married now for... how long have we been married? 1985. Somebody count it up real quick. 85? Robbie, where you at? Huh? 32 years. I've been married 32 years to this woman. And it's all been a bed of roses. We have never fought. We never argue. We never disagree. It's great. I mean, great, really. Y'all believe that, right? Huh? Come on, guys. I'm a preacher. I wouldn't lie to you. No. Listen. Not everything's peaches and cream. Not everything's going to be easy. But listen to me. When you get into it with your husband, or you get into it with your wife, don't let the first thing that crosses your mind is, I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving this because I don't like it. Because that's too much of the philosophy of our day, is that we get married, if we have a little spat, well, by golly, I'll just go get her annulled. Listen, hold on to some accountability in your life. Accept some wrong when you do it. Don't be so willing to run over the little things. You know, we go in our work, our jobs is the same way. People go to work and their boss says, well, you got to go do this today. Well, I ain't doing that. I'd rather have a different job anyway. And they leave the job. Or a church, praise God, I'm glad you guys never had trouble. But Sugar Creek has some problems. Okay, they do. We have some issues. But I tell my people all the time, when a problem crops up, don't go find another church. Let's deal with it and work it out and go past it. We're too willing to leave when things happen. You see, I see her and she's gone. She's history. Man, she's out sitting by some spring trying to figure out what she's going to do. So the reactions from these three people because of these dumb decisions that was made were... one was unaccountable, one was unreasonable, one was unavailable. Now, here we go, last thing. What's the results caused by this decision? You see, in verse 10 all the way down through the end of the chapter, we find some results happening. You see some things that's going on. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. I'm going to give you a couple verses tonight of Scripture before I get into these three points. One of them comes from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Where the Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I want y'all to understand something tonight. If you transgress against God, you can bank on it. Take it to the Clay County Bank and put it in there because things are getting tough. Things are getting ready to get hard. When you transgress against God, I can guarantee you God ain't going to bless you for it. Okay? But something else that I want you to think about comes out of Numbers 32:23, where it says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, if you transgress against God, you sin against God, things are going to get hard. Most people think, well, I'm just going to hide it. I'll hide it. Nobody will ever know anything about it. But let me tell you something, your sins will find you out. Now that you know that, what about the life of these people? What can we learn now as a result of this dumb decision? First of all, notice with me the difficulty caused by the sun. You see, I look at this, and verse number 11 really is one of those dark verses in the Bible to me. She has a baby named Ishmael. But I want you to notice what it says in the angel of the Lord there in verse 11. An angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now notice verse 12. And he will be a wild man. And every man's hand will be against him, And he shall be a wild man. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm sure these kids right here are great kids, and ain't none of them do anything wrong, and they're all just fantastic kids. All of them. You're good kids, right? You don't do nothing wrong, do you? Get in trouble? Well, I'm going to tell you something about Ishmael. Ishmael was a troubled child. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I love kids. You guys know I love kids. I worked with the kids here. I worked with the kids up there, out there in Kansas. I worked with the kids up by church. I love kids. Kids are just a fantastic thing. I have two grandkids. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing like it. But even though my grandkids are wonderful kids, they're still stinkers. They are. Unlike me, they're stinkers. You'll get that when you get home. But I'm going to tell you something. God never stood and told me face to face, your kids are going to be worse than any kid who ever lived. But ain't that exactly what God did with Ishmael? Brother, did he? I don't know of any other place in the Bible where God stood and vagrantly and pointed out the fact that this guy, this boy Ishmael, is going to be rotten. And every man's hand's going to be against him, and his hand's going to be against every man, and nobody's going to get along with him. Now, the result of sin in our life is that it causes us to be stinkers. God tells me over and over and over in the Bible that when I sin against Him and I go against His Word and I transgress against Him in any way, I become a stinker. Just like Ishmael. You see, my sin will find me out. My sin will cause me to have a hard way in this world. Just like it did Ishmael. But you know what else I've seen here? The burden caused by this dysfunctional family. Notice with me this verse number. Go with me to chapter 21. Go with me to chapter 21 real quick. I'm about done. Okay, I'm a long-winded preacher. You'll have to deal with it tonight. 21 chapter 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore said she, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondservant, of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, what I see here is a dysfunctional family. I call it dysfunctional family because we got two different divisions in the family. We've got the bondwoman and Sarah and Abraham. And they're all pitted against each other. And we see one wanting to do this with the other one, and that one wanting to do that one against that one, and that one against that one. And because of that, we see a split in the family. Guys, when we pit ourselves against the ones we live with every day, is there any wonder we see our families dispersing like they are? Is there any wonder that our families are being torn apart like they are? Sin in the family will cause a rift in the family every single time. But notice with me the last thing. God's divine plan was given. Now, chapter number 16, verse number 10. I'm done. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Okay. Just like Abraham, Hagar was given a promise. He promised Abraham, I will give you a son, and he will be multiplied into many nations, enough that you can't even count them. More people than the stars, he said. But he told this same thing, basically, to Hagar. Today, I'll tell you something. What we see happening in our world today is God's prophetic plan being worked out. As a pastor, and this man over here can say that, and others that study the Word of God can stand here and say tonight that the prophetic Word of God is being fulfilled faster than I can keep up with it. And that's the truth. As I study the Bible used to be, I could study the Bible, I could see some things happening, and I could see some things going on that the Bible says was going to go on. But today, it's like when you study the Bible and you read the Bible, there's 3, 4, 5 things being fulfilled every day now. I mean, it's just one after another, after another, after another. Now, let me tell you something, what's happening today in our world is God's plan is being fulfilled. I'm going to leave you with this thought tonight. You ain't going to understand God's plan. You want to understand God's plan, but you can't because you're not God. This plan that God made involved two different groups of people, the Jews and the heirs of Ishmael. These people today still hate each other, do they not, brother? They're against each other today just like they was back then, and the Bible says they will continue to do so until the Lord comes back. And then there'll be a great battle. You see, what's happening today is God's plan's being worked out. This problem, this decision that they made in the beginning, this dumb decision that he made, understand something. God can take the dumbest decision you make and still use it for His glory. Because I know that to be true. You see, next week, if you want to come to my church, I'm going to show my people how Abraham wasn't thrown out the door because of a bad decision. But God took his bad decision and uses it in His time and His glory. Now, does that give you the right to make bad decisions? Heaven forbid. I hope and pray tonight that we all learn that just like Abram learned, that it would have just been easier to leave the sin in Egypt than it is to continually fight that sin. You and I struggle with it every day, sin in our life. I hope and pray that it doesn't cause us to make bad decisions in our life. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us this day. God, I pray, Father, that, Lord God, you would take the message of the night and use it in our lives, God, that we may grow from it. Lord, we all make dumb decisions, and Lord, you know that. We're sinful man. But God, we also realize tonight that even though we're weak and even though we are sinful, that God, you still use us. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord God, you would continue to use us to reach others for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray that our dumb decisions, Lord, would be seen as such, and we would deal with those decisions. And God, we would deal with them promptly. And Lord, we would get them covered by the blood. Now, Lord, I do pray now for this time of invitation. I ask God that you would bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, tonight is closed for just a moment. And I want to draw your attention, if you'll just listen. In just a couple of chapters over from where our preacher preached from, he was in Genesis 16. And Genesis 18 is where the Lord appears and speaks to Abraham face to face. I even mentioned that in the message this morning. And I want you to listen to what Abraham, what the Lord says, and like we talked about this morning, in a meeting with himself, the Lord is speaking and he's talking inside of the Godhead. And he says this in Genesis 18. Just listen. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now, he didn't stop there. He didn't just say, "I need to talk to Abraham and keep him as my friend because he's going to be a big fella." No, no, no. Listen to this. Listen to Genesis 18, 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." I want you to listen with heads bowed and eyes closed. There is no one, not Abraham, not you, not me, not King David, not Paul the Apostle, there's no one that is exempt from making dumb decisions. But we serve a God who is gracious. And when you have established in your life a pattern of obedience, like Abraham, like David, like Paul, God doesn't take one bad decision and toss us to the side. Now, if your life is perpetual bad decisions, like Saul, like Rehoboam, there are folks that God just simply could not use because they simply continually were disobedient and made bad decisions. Abraham messed up, and God is expert at forgiving sinners. And just like the preacher said, my favorite part is that he finds a way to take everything that we have messed up and he somehow makes it beautiful. He does what we could never do. Why? Because he's God. All the more reason to serve him and love him and obey him. His commandments are not grievous. And it's important, as the preacher said, to understand that the way of transgressors is hard. Tonight, aren't you grateful that God doesn't take one bad decision and toss us to the wayside? And by the way, that's the way we ought to be treating one another. God doesn't toss us out. And we ought to be there and willing and ready to forgive too. Father, thank you for the lesson of Abraham, a man that you basically call just absolutely stellar in faith. And yet when we read his story, we find a human being, a sinner. And yet he was richly rewarded for departing the land of his home and going out and journeying and seeking a building and a city whose builder and maker was God. And Lord, you've just shown us so much through his example. God, I pray that we would learn from our own foolish decisions, that we wouldn't repeat them, but instead we'd learn and we would grow. And Father, not only help ourselves in the long run, but help many others. Be in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you please stand? Rebecca's going to play on the piano, and maybe you want to come and thank the Lord for not discarding those who make bad decisions, or maybe you'd like to come and pray tonight and ask the Lord to help you with some things in your life. Some of you right now are facing some decisions. And boy, you ought to look for the Lord's help in making those decisions. One bad decision, friend, you don't know what's going to come out of that thing. You don't know what. You don't know what relationship you're going to sever unnecessarily. You don't know what baggage you're going to end up carrying with you for days, months, without a doubt, years because of that decision. There are folks I know, they come and they ask me, "Preacher, I just don't understand why this is happening." And the answer is, sin has years-long consequences. Years-long consequences. One bad decision. I'll tell you, when we think about King David, very few people, we as adults, we know him for killing Goliath, but we remember Bathsheba, don't we? And I'm telling you, you can get marked and you can wear the stench of one bad decision for years and years and years. The sweet psalmist of Israel, the great man of God, a man after God's own heart, but what do we know about him? That sin with Bathsheba. One bad decision. One bad decision. But I'm grateful that's not all that it is in God's book. Such a simple song, such a simple chorus, but so true. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But to trust